Well, this afternoon, everyone, I think most of us realize this is the Feast of Pentecost. I'd like you to join me by turning to Acts chapter 2 in the Word of God. And we're going to review the event that altered history at that particular time when something transpired of such a magnitude that literally set in motion the beginning of what is referred to in Revelation, the Ephesus Church of God. In Acts chapter 2, we see here that something was going to happen called Pentecost. And here's what the scriptures explain to each and every one of us. When the day of Pentecost was fully come or being observed, and these people were in Jerusalem. They were watching, keeping this day according to the scriptures. And they were all in one accord. These were the disciples now, about 120 of them, plus the original disciples of Jesus. And all of a sudden, it says, verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were all seated. And there appeared unto them, it says cloven, that's not correct, it should be equal. Equal tongues of fire. Because please remember, it says in Scripture, our God is a consuming fire. Fire represents the true God, and the pagans have also used fire to try to counterfeit that their gods have fire. But remember when Elijah spoke, and between Israel and all the priests of Baal, you remember what came down? He said, the God who answers by fire. And boy, when that fire came, everybody else who was hanging on a fence and didn't know how to make up their mind suddenly said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. Why? What impressed them? Fire from heaven. And we're told also to be on the lookout because the book of Revelation says there's a counterfeit individual going to come and he's going to call down fire from heaven too, and people are going to assume that's from God. But if you go back to the book of Job, you'll find out Satan can also, if permitted, allow circumstances to happen to call fire down from heaven. So the Bible gives us information that we must never forget. And these equal tongues of fire appeared on each of them. And notice in verse 4, and they were all filled with the third person in the Trinity. Is that what's in your Bible? But that's what a lot of people think. They think the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And if you do a little basic homework, all you have to do is realize Trinity is a Catholic doctrine. And we are not Catholics. We are begotten sons and daughters of God, called to the truth of God, and to recognize exactly what the Scripture does say and what it doesn't say. And God is telling us here, they were all filled, notice, with the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we sometimes have an idea in this world today that God is a triangle type being. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But when you read the study of the scriptures, you find out that always in the early New Testament church, they only talked about the Father and Christ and the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to go through something here today I hope you find helpful, because I'm going to take you through an exercise. We're going to pose out some questions, and then we're just going to read scriptures. We're going to let the scriptures talk to us today in a very special way, because this is a very special day. And we need to know and have a better grasp of what the Holy Spirit is. Because, again, if the Holy Spirit is a person, how do you get that person inside of everybody? And if Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, then where does the Father come in? And we can start asking all kinds of crazy questions and coming up with all kinds of ideas. But we'll let the Bible talk to us. We'll let the Bible explain just exactly what's going down. I've entitled this sermon for our opportunity of studying today on this day of Pentecost, The Priceless Gift of God's Holy Spirit. the priceless gift of God's Holy Spirit. Now, we're told here in Acts 2 how the Spirit of God came, how it began to impact the lives of the disciples. Then it goes on in that chapter and explains how this marvelous miracle of people from different areas were hearing the gospel spoke to them, it was spoken to them, and in such a unique way that they all heard it in their own language. And they said, well, now, wait a second, these guys are Galileans. How is it they're from Galilee and yet they're talking our language from another place? It was a miraculous thing that God was doing. And that hearing the gospel in their own tongue, and the Holy Spirit, when it gives this marvelous gift of languages, it's called the gifts of the Spirit, and it's glossa in the Greek, meaning languages. So they were hearing languages in their own. It was all miraculous. And then, of course, it goes on to say other people saw it, and they said, oh, no, these guys are all drunk. And then Paul, or Peter in this case, says, no, that's not what it is. This was the fulfilling of what Joel spoke about the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon those whom God was working with. Now, here's the interesting part that we come in Acts chapter 2, because after he gives his very powerful speech on Pentecost. And please understand, this is not a guy who went to seminary and learned a lot of fancy talk. He did not have any of the Pharisees, Sadducees background or anything like that. Peter was a fisherman. And they who were listening were shocked, because this fisherman stood up there and he spoke in such a way that he cut right to the quick. And the people were just dumbfounded, and they said, oh, if what you say is true, men and brethren, what do we do? They were shocked. You're telling us we killed the Son of God who came to be our Savior, the Messiah we were looking for, and we didn't even know who he was? And that's exactly right. As Paul says in Corinthians, he says, if they had known who they had in their hands, they never would have touched him. But they were blinded. It's all part of the plan of God. God allowed certain things to happen so that the Son of God could come and fulfill his role as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of all mankind, beginning with the first fruits and ultimately all mankind. Now, it goes on and says in Peter's admonition, notice in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. You're asking me what to do. Here's what every individual must come sooner or later to grips with. There's going to be a need for repentance. And repentance means a change in the way you operate as a male and a female human being. You're going to have to grasp and comprehend that God is not pleased with all the things we have done as human beings. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God does not make any exceptions. He says, all of this has got to change. How does it change? It begins with repentance, letting God know that you're sorry for what you have done and how you have lived the life you have been given. And in some cases, it can vary one way to another in the lives of individuals. Sometimes it happens heavier here for some, a little bit lighter, but sin is sin. And God doesn't draw any exception to sin. He merely says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the goodness of God, Romans 2, tells us it is God who leads us then and grants us repentance, shows us this need. Because until he shows us his need, we don't know, what have I done? People think they're innocent. They think, I haven't done anything. And they don't realize from God's perspective, oh yes, we've done an awful lot of things we should never have done. And we are on the wrong side of the ledger with God. But God is, by graciousness in his character, he is a God of love. And don't we appreciate that love? He is a God that loves us so much, I can't even explain it, because that love goes so far and deeper than any human being could explain. But what he goes on to say here, once you come to that realization, there's going to be a need for baptism. You're going to have to seek to be baptized. And baptism, again, pictures the death, burial, and resurrection as a foretype of what Jesus Christ had to go through to become the Messiah. And he says that has to be for every one of you in the name of Jesus. And that does what? It says for the remission of sins. It gets sins washed away. So all past sins are gone. You don't have to worry about the wrong things you've done from the past. God forgives if you have repented and you are now desirous to go and sin no more. You can't go back to those old ways, the old habits. And now what does God tell us to do? Now we are to do that, and then you shall receive something. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not a ghost. Back in 1611, they believed in ghosts, but this is not the case. It's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. So now, with that little bit of a background, I want to take you through some very important aspects, because the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we are promised from the Scriptures by Jesus Christ, and this day of Pentecost represents the giving of this Holy Spirit. And the giving of the Holy Spirit is priceless when you understand, because you and I need what the Holy Spirit can produce in our life. And without it, we can't produce it. There's no way. We cannot please God unless we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And that allows us, as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, that we do what? It says we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means we need to really understand this is up close and personal for all of us. And then it goes on to say, know this, that as you're working your way, you pray, you study, you fast, you try to live the way of life God has outlined. Know that it is God who works in you to do His will and good pleasure. You're not pulling this off. It is God who's doing it. Something is happening that you and I cannot fully explain because it's of the Spirit. It involves the Spirit of God working in us. But it is what empowered a fisherman to stand up and literally cut right through a crowd of people, and 3,000 people were moved to conversion to join the church in that day. And others came along later. This is something that moves you deeply once you understand how the Spirit of God works. And it is not a person, because if it is a person, then we got a problem, a big problem. Because the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the New Testament books that give us understanding of what the Old Testament is all about, what he does, he leaves that off. He gives praise to the Father, praise to the Son, Jesus. And he says, in that may we all be bound together by the power of the... I just gave it away. Now we need to do another quick check of Scripture. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. In the gospel account of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus tells his disciples that there were certain things that were going to happen. You read that in the prior verses. But then he tells them in verse 49 the following. He says, behold, I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. What is that promise? What you read in Acts chapter 2. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And it is unto you and to your children. So it involves families, everyone who are involved in the calling of God. He says, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem, that's where they were in Acts 20, until you be imbued with the third person of the Trinity. Not there, is it? That particular word is power. In the Greek, it's called pneuma hegeion. It means power from on high. This plays a very important aspect of power, because God's power is what is needed to drive conversion. Without God's power, we could never be converted. That's why this day is so important. That's why I say it is a priceless gift that God gives to us. You and I don't earn it. It is granted to us upon repentance and baptism. And then we receive the laying on of hands, as it says elsewhere, as one of the basic doctrines. And then we receive, if our heart is right, the gift of God's Spirit. Why is that so important? Well, And Luke, now I'm going to give you some of these scriptures and show you as I introduce certain topics. I want you to just take note of it. Don't worry about turning to every page. Write down the scripture. You can check that out yourself later on. But I'll give you a scripture for everything we're talking about. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, remember there was an angel that came unto a particular young lady. And he said to her, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Why? Because she was suddenly going to have a baby. And she didn't know, well, she'd never had any relations with anybody to produce a baby. She was with her fiancé, who had not totally yet, they haven't had any kind of relations to generate a baby. So what are we talking about? We have Joseph and Mary. And he thought, well, wow, we need to maybe put her away. Well, the angel came to her, to him rather, excuse me, and said, no, don't do that. And then he came to Mary and says, hey, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and notice the power of the Most High, just like you read there in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. The power of God was involved in bringing the Christ child into this world. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, this comes from the New King James Version. It says, the Spirit now, it says, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now the Spirit, when you hear and read things like the Spirit Himself, well, isn't that a person? No. When you do a little grammatical search, you're going to find out it comes from a masculine source. It comes from the Son of God. And Jesus is the one, as we're going to see, that passes this on in a very unique way. You and I have a spirit. It's called a spirit in man. God has a spirit that he uses. God the Father has that spirit. And Jesus has that spirit. And it's the power. When we are baptized, what does it say? Go into the nations, Matthew 28, the final point says, go into the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, there's the proof of the Trinity. No, There's the Father. The throne, on the throne, he's the Father of the universe and of all spirits. There's the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior who came. And what is the Holy Spirit? It's the power that God uses to bring all this to pass in the great plan and purpose of God. And notice here, it emphasizes that very thing. So I'd like to point out something that you might not have thought of before. The Holy Spirit is like a connection point. It connects the mind of God to your mind and my mind. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not connected. We're alienated from God. Once we have been repented and we come to God, then what transpires? We have a connection point. What is that connection point? You shall receive the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? The power that connects God's mind to your mind, to my mind, and all who are humbly walking with God. It could be likened also to like a conveyor unit, if you want to use that term. But what does it convey? It conveys something to us that we have to have. Understanding. You and I are here today to understand what does this day, what's it all about? Why are we here? Where are we going? What is the future for every human being, young and old alike? God tells us that the Spirit of God gives understanding, and it transports the mind of God to the one who is to be the recipient of that knowledge and understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 tells us the following. For who has known the mind, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who knows that? Well, notice what the scripture continues to say. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. How did we get the mind of Christ? We weren't born with it. We received it through the power of God's Holy Spirit when we surrendered to Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, who came to die for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world. When we acknowledge that and we believe that, as the scripture clearly shows, then the illumination of God's Holy Spirit begins to flow. Because everything you study in the Bible is the Word of God written for our learning. Now, many people can read the Bible, but they don't come up with the right answers because it has to be spiritually discerned. And it takes the Spirit of God to reveal that. I liken it to something that I think we can all relate to. If you want to know something today, what do? You sit down at your computer and you do what? You Google it. Everybody knows about Google because Google is one of the most powerful search engines. And if you want to know something about a certain period of time, you punch that into the thing and that search engine starts looking around and it says, 45 different answers here. Here, this is all your information. Brings up all this information almost like instantly. That's a physical analogy. The Spirit of God is a spiritual search engine because when you sit down and you read the Bible and you say, I don't understand. What is it trying to tell me? Once you say that, you're looking for something. You're looking for answers. Where do you go to get those answers? The scripture says you ask God and you seek and you knock and you, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord in the book of James. We'll go through some of these scriptures to show and reaffirm some of these very things. So what we are learning is that spiritual blessing of the gift of God's Holy Spirit is like a spiritual search engine that begins to show you in various places how the Bible all comes together, and why you were born, why you were placed on this earth. Psalm 77 and verse 6 reminds us of this very thing. It tells us, it says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate with my heart. I meditate with my heart. I'm asking questions, say, what does this all mean? And my spirit makes diligent search. Where do you search to find answers? You study the Bible, and the Bible answers itself. God's Spirit guides you through the Bible and helps you to understand. By adding scriptures together, you get to get a composite picture. You begin to see things you could never see before. All these things are marvelous, but they all are the result of God's miraculous power in hand. Through the Holy Spirit of God, it gives wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the proper fear of God. That's found in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. It's a reference to Jesus Christ when he comes and he rules on this earth. And it says he is going to have all of those wonderful gifts demonstrated. Verse 2, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, meaning Christ Jesus. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might. Notice the spirit. Something is being transmitted. Something is being passed on. What did Jesus Christ tell Philip when Philip said, well, you know, you keep talking about the Father. Will you show us the Father, please? And he says, Philip, have I been with you so long and you haven't picked up on it yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. We're connected in our thoughts. Yes, the Father is a spirit and he's in heaven. And yes, I'm here as a physical human being, but I'm reflecting my Father in all that I say, think, and do. And you should know this and come to understand. Once we grasp this concept, we begin to realize the Spirit of God is given to us to give us the power of understanding. How many times when we go into areas of life prematurely, we get into trouble? Why? Because we don't understand. If I jump in an automobile and I start racing down the highway, and I don't know anything about an automobile, sooner or later I'm going to crash into a tree or something or hit another car. Why? Because I don't know how to drive it. I just kind of stick it in there and I put my foot on the gas pedal and I take off and woo! But I don't know how to really perceive traffic and all the other things that go with it. What if I said I want to go fly an airplane, but I never studied avionics? I don't understand avionics, but I know how to start this thing, go down the highway, and guess what? Or actually the runway, not a highway. But as you're going down that runway, guess what? The runway runs out. What am I supposed to do now? I don't understand. You see how important understanding is? If you don't understand, if I take a lit stick of dynamite in my hand, I know it's dynamite and I know it's lit, and I hold it in my hand, now what do I do with it? I don't know. I don't know what a lit stick of dynamite. Get rid of it. That's the understanding. Or you're going to get blown up. So these are the things I'm pointing out in very simple terms to help us understand. Without understanding, we're in trouble. And God knows that. And so he provides through his Holy Spirit the gift of access to the mind of Jesus Christ, who has access to the mind of God the Father, and that all gets transmitted to us through the Word of God as we study the Scriptures. And God's Spirit of power begins to help you to understand. There was a time you didn't understand about the Sabbath. How come you're all here today? Because you understand. You didn't know about the holy days. You thought it was just the Sabbath. Then you came to understand that. Well, lo and behold, look at how your understanding is just starting to develop. And just like a child, in their infant stages, what are they? They don't know. And mom and dad has to guide them as they grow up. Because their hands are on everything. You ever notice how a child has to touch everything, have to hit every button? Oh, you put them around something where there's buttons, and they'll press every button. They'll go nuts pressing buttons. They just got to do it. It's just in their nature. And that's the way we are. We just want to do things, but we don't understand. For example, a parent has to tell a child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Child doesn't understand that. What did you just tell me? I'm going to touch it anyway. Now they understand. You get burned. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. Power of understanding. Through the Holy Spirit, God gives us the ability to understand, and we understand what God wants us to do. Prior to that repentance, we would not be able to do it. Notice the Scriptures as I give them to you now. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's our problem. We have not given God all our heart. It says you have to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Jesus did it. And if he's going to live his life in us through the power of his Holy Spirit, which that's what it's all about, then that's what we have to be dedicated, striving to do, to trust God in with all your heart. And what's the other part of that? Lean not to your own understanding. Notice, we have an understanding. Human beings are unique. God made us that way. We're not a bunch of animals. And because of this, when I say, hello, everybody, and you could say back to me, you could say, hello, you related because your spirit and my spirit connected. I could go out to a cow standing in a pasture and say, hello, cow. And the cow would just look at me. Who are you? And I'd be lucky if I got a moo back. But there's only instinct in that cow. No intelligence. Designed by God, we have a mind that is akin. We were made in God's image. And we are given the blessed gift of his Holy Spirit to begin to really probe the mind of God, which is a mind that we're going to see here in just a little bit. Now, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Oh, Lord, what did the prophet know? He said, I know. Do we know? He knew. And he said, the way of a man, as well as a woman, is not in himself. It is not in man who walks or lives to direct his own steps. Now, we think we do. We think we got it all together. We think we can just go and do and everything. And we don't realize sometimes we walk right into a minefield, spiritually speaking. We create serious problems for ourselves, leaning to our own understanding. Now, how do I know that? Because when you do that and it doesn't work out right, you say, why did I do that? The reason you did it, because you didn't understand. If you had understanding, you never would have done that. You see how deficient we are? God is trying to help us to to supply our every need, to give us the understanding that we lack as human beings. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man as well as to a woman. What is that way? It ends in the way of death. Wow. Then that's not the way you and I want to go. Plain and simple. So, if we don't have proper understanding, we must then do what? Go to God, who is the source of all understanding. Should be so, you know, don't take rocket science, just do what the Bible says. He's got what we need, understanding. And so in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, we are told, from the Lord, for the Lord, he gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge, and guess what? Understanding. Understanding. Psalm 147 and verse 5. It says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. I can't define that word for you. Infinite means it's off the charts. His understanding is so far great you could never find it in a jillion years of lifetimes. That's how great our God is, folks. That's the God Satan doesn't want you to worship in spirit and truth. He tangled with that great God and he found out he's a loser. And he's going to lose big time. And so will everyone else who follows the adversary and will not listen and believe the words of Jesus. If you can but believe, all things are possible to you, because what that does, it opens the floodgates to the power of God. That's what this day is all about. This is not just a day we just kind of do our thing. This is a day to come to understand what we never did understand, how much we need our God to teach us and give us understanding. And isn't that the role, physically speaking, of what moms and dads do with their children? Don't you train your children? We're supposed to, Deuteronomy 6. When they sit down, when they get up, when they go here, go there. In other words, make them God conscious. Make them realize, hey, you're not an accident. You're not some just happenstance. There was divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that was put together and implied by the very scriptures. And you and I are to do what? We are to stand in awe of God. Coming over here, it was incredible just to watch the clouds up there. You know what those clouds were doing? To me, they were shouting like crazy. Look at me! Look what God did! He made me! Clouds! You see a beautiful bird. And this bird does what? What a bird's supposed to do. That bird is shouting at you. It's saying, look at me. I've got a beautiful color and I can fly. Look at me. I'm a hummingbird and I can do all kinds. I can hover like a helicopter. Look at me. I'm a crazy duck-billed platypus and you can't even figure me out. And yet, here I am. Look at me. I'm a bumblebee. I give glory to God. I got a body 10 times bigger than my little wings. And I fly. You know, I'm not supposed to fly, but I do fly. Now, how does that all ring if it doesn't tell you you worship a mighty God? And God wants you to keep that always in mind. And we don't. We struggle with this because we've got so many distractions to try to take us away. That's what the scripture means when it says, all the heavens declare the glory of God. You look up at night, you see all those stars out there, Hubble telescope looking there, only sees a small portion of it, and it's enough to blow your brains out, so to speak. It's just overwhelming. And then think about what happens on beyond that, what we don't see. It's breathtaking, brethren. Just absolutely breathtaking. We need God's understanding. God is the source of all understanding, and he gives us the power and the ability to understand and to do physical things. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? In other words, you got that spirit, I've got that spirit. When you say hello to me, I say hello to you. I acknowledge you, you acknowledge me. These other critters that God made, they can't do that. They can't do that. God ordained husband and wife to be side by side, to share a life, the wonderful gift. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were skilled in wisdom. Daniel had all the understanding of visions and dreams. How did he know that? You know, when he came before the king and he gave Nebuchadnezzar the answer to his dream, all the soothsayers couldn't answer it. How did Daniel know that? God gave him that. What about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? How did Joseph tell the Pharaoh, well, this is what's going to happen? 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lean. Wow, it happened just like he said. Because God can convey his will through the power of his Holy Spirit into the mind of an individual. You read about the temple being built in Old Testament times. And it says God blessed those individuals who are artificers in gold, silver, bronze. And when they made those temple elements that were required by God, they were breathtaking. These guys were doing things that they'd never done before because God gave them that special gift. Our God is a great God, dear brethren. And I think he gets so in this world we live in, he gets a short end of the stick. Because people don't really fear God. They talk about him. But when you talk about the God who has all power and the power of understanding that he can give to you. How about Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 3? In verse 3 it says, And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. In other words, very skilled artificers in whatever they, carpentry, metalworking, what have you. You can tell a lot of times people have certain gifts. They can really do things exceptional. Where did they get that from? I believe it's what John the Baptist says, no man receives anything except it come from heaven above. Everything is a gift from God. Now, God gives us the ability to understand spiritual things. And that's why we're here today, because most people do not understand spiritual things. They can understand a lot of physical things, but 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says the following. What man, what woman, know the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God. God has to bring that to our understanding. And let's see what else we can touch on here very quickly. There's a lot here. I'm just going to hit highlights of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. We need understanding, folks. You see how this keeps just coming back again and again and again? You and I lack understanding. We may think we're smart, but I've many times used the expression, I said, have you ever noticed how smart and dumb we are at the same time? That we can be so smart and do something and say, I will never do that again, and just down the street a little bit, we do it again. And we prove we're not as smart as we thought we were. So here again, the proverb gives us a very important aspect here in discernment. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Proverbs 2 and verse 3. Now listen to this and how it is written. And then we're going to demonstrate a little something here for you. And I hope I don't want to scare any of the kids who might be asleep. So I won't get too vociferous here, but I will demonstrate what the scripture is saying. It says, concerning understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice or ask for understanding. Okay, we're all lacking understanding, right? But ask yourself, when was the last time you did this when you prayed? Did you do it this way? Well, Lord, you know, I'm kind of on the short end of the stick here. I really would appreciate some understanding and also discernment, if you would be so kind. That's not what the scripture said. What I just demonstrated is not how you ask. It says, if you cry out, Lord God Almighty, please, I need help I need discernment, and I've got to have this. I don't understand. Why is this happening? You get the difference? It says cry out. But we put God so far away out there sometimes, we think, well, I can't cry out. He says cry out. Now, I wish if you were God sitting in his position and hearing that request, who would you think would be the more sincere one and really wants understanding? I think you'd see it's the latter. And this is exactly what God is trying to show us. In other words, you've got to be involved in a quest to understand. In Psalm 119, 125, David is saying, he says, I am your servant, and he says the following, give me understanding. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Because we don't. Look at the things we know now by the grace of God. How many of you knew all these things that you have come through in the course of time? Look how many years we've been involved in the calling of God. You didn't know that when you were a teenager. If you did, you were a rare individual. Many of our young people today are having access to things that many of us older folks just never had until God called us. But he wants young and old alike. He wants a complete family. He doesn't want the young people left out. He doesn't want the older folks left out. He wants all the folks involved in his family. And so it's a learning process. In verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Who's that talking? King Solomon. King Solomon. And God was so impressed, he's asking for understanding. He didn't ask for gold, silver, long life, and all this other stuff. He said, because he didn't ask for it, I'm going to give it to him anyway. I'm going to let him have what he didn't even ask for. And so Solomon was given so much more than anyone else. But he had a weakness, a terrible weakness that was his demise later on. And you can read that at a different time. I won't introduce that subject here, but he had a particular weakness and it brought him down. So he started out tremendous, but he ended up question mark. So here again, everyone is an individual. Everyone has to make these choices. But in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, we need to ask for understanding, like wisdom. And we need to ask God in the way it's stated. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given. But if he asks, let him ask in faith, with no doubting. You got to believe, like Jesus said. You want wisdom? It'll come to you by God's grace if you believe what the Scripture says. And how do you get that wisdom? By studying the Scriptures. And the Spirit of God begins to make known these words to you in a way that you never understood before. That's the beauty of God's calling and God's creation of the human mind. It's a marvelous thing. Sometimes we struggle, like Mark 9, verses 7 through 24. There was a situation where an individual came who had a son who was demon-possessed and sought God's help. Because the demons were doing, the poor boy was foaming at the mouth, he was gnashing his teeth, he was just become stiff and rigid, throw him into the fire, try to drown him. It was a terrible thing. And he came, and Jesus asked, well, how long has this been going on? And he says, well, from childhood, showing children can be attacked by the fallen world, the spirit world, at a very early age, and every parent better be aware of that. And better be fighting and praying for your children. It can happen. This is an evil world in which we live. But God has put a hedge around us. As long as we keep faithful to him, he'll not allow anything to come and to violate us in any way. Because we look to him for protection. That is in verse 23 of that Mark chapter 9, where Jesus says, if you can but believe, all things are possible to you. Yeah, you can actually get rid of those enemy forces, just like the book of James says in chapter 4, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He doesn't want to be knocking on your door if you're in league with God. Now, if you're in league with what Satan wants to advocate, he'll come visit you regularly. And that's not something you want. You don't want any part of the adversary. We need to ask for understanding, just as it says in Scripture, in faith, not doubting. Satan is the author of doubt. That's what he put in Mother Eve's mind. Oh, you're not. You mean telling you God said if you eat this fruit, you're going to die? No. God knows better than that. You're not going to die. Well, she couldn't even comprehend. What are you talking about? Death and dying. She hadn't seen anybody die. Didn't know what death was. Again, a lack of understanding. You see how empty we are if we don't have, like the proverb says, you've got to get wisdom. Wisdom is important because it governs your overall life as you live it. It says, but with all you're getting, get understanding. Because if you don't understand, and it's not a shame or wrong to say, I don't understand. It's sad, but a lot of kids go to school today and they don't get a real education because they're not taught. A good teacher does what? Teaches people to understand. And today they don't even know how to do reading, writing, and arithmetic. Try to sit down with them and try to help do a math problem and ghastly. You're cut off at the core. That's why that Common Core you hear in the news is being reviewed very unfavorable by a lot of people, because it teaches weird stuff. And kids don't need that kind of stuff. They need just the good old basics. No, James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, if any man lack this wisdom, let him ask God. Now, isn't that interesting? He gave it to Solomon, and God is saying, look, he'll give it to you if you need it and you're asking for it. So don't put a barrier there and say, well, he gave it to Solomon, but he won't give that to me. Oh, yes, he will. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, God will grant to you if it's in harmony with God's will. And that's exactly what the man said back to Jesus. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Because we struggle with that as human beings. We really do. It would be nice if we could just always believe, but we don't. Proverbs 15, verse 14, it says, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. In other words, you're always growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because as you understand one thing, it leads to another question, and then you want to find an answer to that. And so you ask God, and then the Spirit of God searches the mind of Jesus Christ and leads you in the Bible to the place where you need to know and understand how to operate. And when you discover it, it's like Moses when he talked to God and he says, make known to me your words. If God doesn't make known to you his words, you don't know them. You can't know them. And so we have to have God's understanding in all aspects. Getting understanding, that's Proverbs 4, verse 5 and through 7. All right, let me tell you about one other aspect. About we are given understanding that is recorded in the Word of God. Romans 15 and verse 4, you hear me say this quite a bit. Because it is all written for our learning. What do we learn? What do we understand? Things that they did we don't want to do. And things they did do, that has God's blessing, that's what we want to do. Because we want God's blessing. And God says, well, it's going to depend on whether or not you love me and you keep my commandments. Because if you don't, then I know which side of the law or my law is. You're against it. And that's basically what human beings are. We are anti-law. Isn't it crazy? We all have to follow the law to drive in a car, to come here even to services. And yet when it comes to spiritual matters, we say, oh, we're going to have God's blessing, but we don't want his law. And God says, hey, the law of God is fundamental. It teaches you what to stay away from. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He says, you know, in the book of Romans, I didn't even know what coveting was until the law said, thou shalt not covet. He didn't realize the real impact of that, that you can be coveting things and you tend to dismiss it because you think it doesn't, that's not, well, I'm not really doing anything bad. God says when you're coveting things that don't belong to you, you're violating his law. And of course, the spiritual impact is quite revealing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us, study to show yourself approved to God. You don't study, you're not approved. You learn, you study, you go to school. What are you supposed to do? Learn when you go to school. Sadly, you don't get that today in modern education. You might learn a few things, but you don't get a whole lot. Years ago, they taught basics. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, not some, but we're told by, quote, higher critics that you can't trust the Bible. The Bible's a myth. It was written by men who didn't know any better. Who do you want to believe? The so-called higher critics that don't know how to come out of the rain themselves? The ones who don't really understand the Bible, but they're going to tell you all about the Bible? No, God says, you want to know my word? Believe me. If you're willing to put your trust in me, I'll show you what my word is all about. And we're learning about that just today. We're going over and reviewing some very important principles. When God intervenes, it's marvelous to behold. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 8, God was talking about Israel. And he says, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I shall teach you and observe. And then he goes through and he says how the people, the nations round about would say, wow, wow, what kind of a nation is this whose God is so close that they have this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding? Because it comes from God. When Israel renounced their relationship with God, what happened? The bottom fell out. That's why the prophet Jeremiah said what he did. He says, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters, likened unto God, the source of all life and water, and they've hewn out cisterns that can hold no water. They're going about trying to solve their problems like we talked about earlier, about global warming. And it's a joke, because the problems we're experiencing are the result of sin that is embedded in man's world. And they're trying to, through legislation, solve the sin problem. So rather than give you the gospel, the divine gospel of God, the good news, how salvation can come to you and you can be set free, they're going to teach you the social gospel. And the social gospel will say, well, we got to love everyone. And so, but what about this guy over here? This guy, he's a real bad guy. No, we got to love him too. We got to tolerate every sin under the sun and go along with it, because if we don't, then we're not showing love. That's called human love. And human love does not equate with God's love. All right. We're almost finished now, so we're coming to the last elements here I want to touch on. When we ask for understanding and we study, God requires that we act on that knowledge. You know, studying about the Sabbath, the holy days, and the things that we're involved in as members of the Church of God, if we don't practice it, and believe it, and live it, and love it, then it does us no good. As I'm going back to the airplane example that I gave earlier, if I study avionics and I know all about it, but I never get into an airplane, what good does that knowledge do to me? I got to get my hands on it. I've got to do something. Remember what they said when they heard that powerful message by Peter on Pentecost? Men and brethren, what shall we do? There's something we've got to do. And that's why we're here today. We're here to do what God has commanded us, to listen to his word, to recognize we are void of understanding in a lot of areas of our life. Young people don't have all the understanding they don't. And what happens as you get past a certain age? You think you know a lot and you find out, I don't know this. I don't know that. And then what happens as you get older? You forget half of what you thought you knew. I mean, it gets crazy. You can forget things so easy. And God says, that's why I told you, remember the Sabbath. That's why I tell you every year to come back and practice these things. Because if you don't, you will forget. and you will drift, and you will drift away, unless you stay with the current and go on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. If we do not live by what we learn, then we lose the understanding that we've gained. They call it degrading. You hear this right now. Suppose they were going to degrade the JV team over there in Iraq. But we're not doing it. We're just playing games. If we really wanted to use the power that God has blessed this nation with, we could clean those guys out like crazy in no time. We don't want to. We're letting them get away with it. Things are happening that we don't understand all the ramifications, and we don't have to. God's eyes are everywhere. He sees everything. He knows who is and who isn't. We can rest in the Lord and be at peace. We don't have to worry about, oh, what about this? What about global warming? We're going to die by 2050. Who knows? Everybody might be dead before that time. You know, they're telling us now all kinds of crazy things. And now when the Saudis want a nuclear weapon, they're going to buy it from the Pakistanis because they figure Iran's going to get a bomb. Now, those people are very emotional, and it doesn't take much for them to hit a button, and all, there goes that missile. The Russians and the Americans, they talked the fight, but they didn't want to go to fight. They knew that was bad news. But if we don't practice what we learn, we will lose it. There's that old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Because it degrades quickly. Any skill you have, you fill the missing blank. Whatever skill you have, whether you're in computers, if you don't stay current with computers, you'd fall behind quickly. You've got to stay right on top of things. And that's going to become more and more the case as we draw closer to the end of time. With God understanding, when we get God's understanding, listen to this. Listen to the blessings that flow real quickly. I'm getting Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. You're going to be tickled pink. You're going to be happy because now you're going to know why you were born, why you were put here, why you're a male, why you're a female. You won't have to listen to the news and say, this guy says, I am gender conflicted. I think I'm a girl, but I look like a man, and I think I'm going to put nail polish on my fingers because it makes me feel better. Oh, brother, we are in trouble in Israel. And this is what is happening. And our young people, I'll tell you, I'll give our credit to our young people. They are smarter than a whip. There's a lot of things they don't know, but they know hypocrisy and they know when there is something afoot that is not right. And they want to see examples of people who fear God. They want to see examples of individuals who love God. They want to see people who will praise God because that's not what they hear from the world that they live in. All they hear is four-letter words and every other kind of unsavory thing that is mentioned. And they know very quickly if we're just playing religion. We've got to be the animal. Or otherwise, we're kidding ourselves. Happy. We can be really happy. Proverbs 13:15. A good understanding gains favor. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a wellspring of life. To be able to understand. If you don't understand something, you know, that can drive you crazy. Because you don't, why am I going through this? I don't understand. Remember Job? He was going through things. And he didn't understand. He said, I got to talk to God about this. He lost everything and he couldn't figure out, what have I done? And God came down, set him straight, and told him, I don't need to answer your questions. I'm God, you're not. Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Where? I repent. Being dust and ashes. We're just the product of a marvelous God who loves us so much. And here's the thing we need to keep in mind. God loves us so much. He sent his son to die for us. That's not just something nice to think about. Sweet nothings. Jesus Christ had to pay the hell that you and I deserve. He suffered and he hurt and it pained him to like nobody's business. You and I would not have, we would never have lasted like he did. But he died for every one of the human beings who will ever be created, ever be given the opportunity for life. And what did he do? He did it because he loved his creation, and that's you and me. He doesn't want to see any of us lost. He wants all of us. He wants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the others who believe and are written in the Bible. He died for all of us. But you know that love doesn't mean anything if you and I don't believe what he says. All that love means nothing because it's not going to work for you if you don't believe what God says. If you can but believe, you can be happy. You can have good understanding. You can have the blessing of God if that's what you hunger and thirst for. You will be filled. God loves life. He's the author of life. If you take a look at that world we live in, when you go home today, let that creation shout at you. When you see that tree, let that tree yell, "He made me!" I think of those redwood trees out in California. Way up there. Man, where did they come from? God made me, and they stand proud as a tribute to the creation of God, who started them out as a little seed and watched them grow. And that's the way you and I started out, a little seed. And God has given us the wonderful gift of His Holy Spirit in a calling of which, as our sermonette man said, I've used that many a time myself. We've been given a chance of a lifetime, folks. God says, please, my sons and my daughters, don't blow it. There's only one time through on this, and there's no turning back. So please, hear my voice. Follow my commands. And you will live forever. That's a pretty good deal in my book. May we believe, may we honor our God, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And remember what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Now consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. You see, there's a lot to learn, folks. May God help us. We got a lot to work to do.